Good morning, friends. Welcome to this third Sunday of Epiphany. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston. Here at Old South, even absent our physical communion, this is still a special place. A place and a people called to ministries of grace. Grace that abounds no matter who nor where you might be on your journey. A journey that we commit to taking together. Together in covenant with one another, secure in God's grace, to live and serve in the hope of the gospel. That gospel was then and is now a radically inclusive, extravagant welcome and guide to building a more just world for all. We're glad you're here, and we're glad we're together. Whether today is your first Sunday with us or one of many, let us know by signing our virtual friendship pad. We will write you back and invite you in. And after the service, we hope you'll join us in the community coffee hour or in the forum. The topic for forum this week is progressive Christianity and Christian nationalism. You can find the links for all that and more at oldsouth.org/Sundays. And finally, as many of you know, this month is Stewardship Month. And we're so glad to have Bob and Candace Castercos share their reflection on why they give to and support the work and ministries of this church. Throughout this service, should you feel called to support the work of this church, you can do so by making your annual pledge at oldsouth.org/donate. Friends, may we find comfort and joy together this morning. To share that joy, let's pass the peace to one another. Type it in the chat, say it to someone next to you, shout it out an open window. Say it to yourself. The deep peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
And peace be with you.
And peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Que la paz esté con ustedes. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be
with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
As our prayer for today, I will be reading some lines from The Hill We Climb by Amanda Gorman. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always justice. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions. And so we lift our gaze not to what stands between us, but to what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried, that we'll forever be tied together, victorious. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. For while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
Hey kids, it's Pastor Sean. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? Maybe you want to be a doctor, or a movie star, or a chef. But did you know, no matter what you become when you grow up, you have the chance to change the world? It's true. How do I know? Well, it's in the Bible. You see, back in Jesus' day, there were people called Pharisees and priests, and they knew a lot about the Bible and God. You would think that Jesus would pick those kinds of folk to be his first disciples, right? He didn't. He picked a bunch of regular people. In fact, most of them were fishermen. They weren't high and mighty people with fancy jobs that everyone wanted. They were average, hard-working folks. They were often dirty and smelly, and some of them didn't even know how to read. But he chose them on purpose. See, they weren't going to be rich or famous following Jesus, but he was going to use them for really big things. When Jesus first called them, he told them he was going to teach them how to fish for people. What? And that was a really funny way of telling them that Jesus was going to teach them how to make even more followers of Jesus. See, Jesus had lots of followers, but it started with these 12 average Joes. They left their fishing boats behind, studied with Jesus, learned their Bibles, then went into the world, teaching people about God, about how God created them to love, how God wants us to live in peace, how God wants justice for all people. And the message caught on and spread across the world. So think about those first 12 average disciples. We still talk about them 2,000 years later because they changed the world. And they did it by following Jesus, living by his example, and by telling others about God. So whether you want to be a teacher, a dancer, or maybe even president, I'd vote for you. By following Jesus, you can change the world. The important part is that you stay true to the lessons that Jesus teaches, no matter what you do. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, help us to listen for Jesus' call, because with Jesus, we can change the world. And we all say, Amen.
John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying,
The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them,
Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.
And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them.
Hey, James and John, come with me.
And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
We are Bob
and Candace Kosterko. We live in Boston, within walking distance of Old South Church. When Nancy asked us to write a reflection about our giving story for Epiphany and Stewardship Month at Old South, we hesitated at first to say yes, and here's why. Truthfully, we're kind of camera shy.
We are very camera shy. But second and more importantly, we have always been quiet givers, humble givers who take their cue from the 6th chapter of Matthew. Be careful not to practice your charitable deeds in front of people in order to be noticed by them. When you do your charitable deeds, don't blow a trumpet before you like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they will be praised by people. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you.
Now, that isn't to say that we are reluctant to talk about our Christianity, or our membership at Old South, or how much time we spend at the church. Family, friends, and colleagues have all heard about us ushering or singing, or when we had to sneak out a little bit early from work to get to a committee meeting on time. But talk about what we give financially, or even why we give, that isn't something we are as quick to share.
So why are we talking about our giving today? About 12 years ago, a choir from Tanzania visited Old South. They were on a tour sponsored by a UCC church in Framingham. The purpose of their tour was to raise funds for drilling freshwater wells near schools in their village. We were impressed by the simple solution of using hand-operated pumps to provide clean water. By the end of their presentation, we were so moved, we decided to donate a well ourselves. We didn't tell anyone about our gift to the Africa Exchange Project. It just wasn't our way. A year or so later, the subject came up in one of my Bible study groups. We were asked to talk about something charitable we had done recently. I told our story of donating the well. Quinn Caldwell, who was the group leader, asked why Candace and I hadn't talked about the well earlier. He thought that perhaps if others had heard our story, it might have inspired them to make similar gifts. Recalling that comment encouraged us to say yes and share our giving story today.
Why do we give? Well, that's what we saw our parents and our grandparents do. It's what we both did as children, dropping nickels, dimes, and quarters into the collection plate at church. As we grew up and started careers, those coins turned into bills, and the bills then turned into checks. Since the pandemic, we've been donating online. Before that, it was always a check, because I liked the simple act of writing a check before each service. It helped me to think about what Old South can do with that money, how they can make someone's life a little easier or a little bit better.
Why give to Old South? Well, there are a number of very good reasons. We are continually inspired by the preaching and the music program. We love being members of a community of Christians who are welcoming to everyone, a truly open and affirming congregation. We believe we are called to care for the lost and the least, and our beliefs directly align with what Old South stands for in our community, our Commonwealth, and our country. We also believe that everything we have, our talent, time, and treasure, all come from God's grace, and that we are meant to share those gifts.
We don't just give of our treasure, we give of our time and talent too. Over the years, I have served on deacons, leadership committee, an executive manager search committee. I am currently on the membership committee and I do lots of hospitality and ushering.
And I sing with the festival choir, serve on the music committee. I have taught Bible study groups and served on the Minister of Music search committee. We've both represented Old South at GBIO meetings. We volunteer to prep food, serve, or clean up for special events, and occasionally we protest peacefully for social justice at the State House and other locations.
Why do we pledge? We pledge because it keeps us accountable to ourselves and our commitment to Old South. We understand that pledging allows Old South's financial teams to create a realistic budget which promotes the church's missions of justice, mercy, and beauty.
How do we decide how much to give? At first, we simply drop cash in the collection plate whenever we attended a service. Once we knew we had found our new church home, we started writing checks. We started with a modest amount. And then, as we learned more about the ways Old South used that money, we increased the amount. One stewardship season, Nancy asked folks to give until it felt good. So that's what we do, adjusting our pledge annually so that it not only feels good, but it feels significant. We met or surpassed our pledge goals every year, even through job losses for one or the other of us. We're retired now, and yet we still maintain our yearly pledge commitment. We feel comfortable supporting Old South because we know that our financial gifts are in good hands and will be used to support causes that are meaningful to us. Thank you for listening.
Jesus calls us with a tumult of a light wordless to see. Day by day that voice still calls us, saying, Christian, follow me. Saying, Christian, follow me. As of old,
Eternal God, you are the maker of us all, and we are your creation, formed as individuals, as community. You call us, wanderer of seashores and sidewalks, inviting us to sail out of our safe harbors into the uncharted waters of faith, to wander off from our uncertain paths to follow you into the unpredictable footsteps of the kingdom. You call us to be your people, to carry your vision in this time and place, to go where you send us to help welcome your amazing good news. As we wait in our simple, sometimes crazy, sometimes chaotic, and constantly uncertain lives, speak to us, Spirit of Grace, of that hope which is our anchor, of that peace which is our rock, of that grace which is our refuge. We worship you today in recognition of your calling, of your communicating, of your caring to invite us to share in your creative and healing work. We are here because we have heard you speak in us and through others. Help us, dear Lord, to rise up with renewed commitment in answer to your call, that your people may be instruments of your grace and love. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who consider themselves inadequate, incapable, unworthy. Grant them assurance, strength, and a recognition of their own power. Grant each of us a vision of all that you call us to. We pray too today, O Lord, for those in want and need, for those of us and of the larger community who suffer in body or in spirit. We remember before you all those struggling with COVID-19 and all those who are ill, all who mourn, all who are incarcerated, all who are living in danger, those who are hungry, all who are afraid. Lord, hear our prayer. We name too the joys in our lives of new starts, friendships, moments of beauty. We recognize that you are with us in all things. And so we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have been blessed. Blessed by music and prayer, blessed by sacred story and sacred reflection, blessed by hallowed time, blessed to linger here together in the presence of God despite distance, despite pandemic, creating a space of grace even as our world and nation convulse. Let us bless back. We take an offering at each of our services at Old South Church, an offering to support ministries of compassion and mercy and justice. We give so that we, who are so richly blessed, might in our turn be and become a blessing to others. You can give to support our ministries by hovering your cursor and revealing the donate button, or copy and paste the link in the chat feature, or go to oldsouth.org Sundays. Today's offering will be gratefully received and, in a moment, by us soundly blessed.
Thank you.
we bless what has been given. Now we bless and thus supercharge, boost, amplify, and sanctify the gifts you have given. And you, people of God, you assume the priestly role of blessing with your divinely sparked selves, with hands supercharged by God. I invite you to raise your hands in that ancient posture of blessing and let us pray. Bless these gifts, gracious God. Bless the giving, the generosity. Bless the hope and the love in the giving. Bless our giving that pooled and multiplied, it might be a blessing, a healing salve to your bruised and battered world. We pray down blessings on these our gifts in Christ's name and for his sake. And let the whole church say, Amen.
In the words of our newly elected President Joe Biden, there is much to repair, much to restore, much to heal, much to build. Will we rise to the occasion? If we show a little tolerance and humility, if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, just for a moment. There are some days when we need a hand. There are other days when we're called to lend one. That is how we must be with one another. Listen, hear, see, and show respect to one another. As this nation rebuilds, let us remember just how interconnected we all are. Peace be with you on this day.
Thank you. Thank you.